Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Eszol Gabir úr, jelentsérék a csárdában vannak.
Kicsodák?
Jelentsérék.
És ti hová mentek? Átak a kurva anyát!
Hello, fellow Beastians, this is the Gaming Beast, and I'm gonna do this episode here that I tried to record last week, and it failed. Some technical issues ensued, and yep, this is the official beginning of Beastverse Phase 1. What does that mean? That means that we had Phase 0 so far, which was kind of the trying out here and there, and we had semi-regularity. Now we'll have full regularity of Gaming Beast content, which means you'll have weekly videos and weekly podcasts. So I'm going to put this episode out today as soon as I can, because there was supposed to be an episode, and I've been promising stuff, and I hate promising stuff and then not... And then if it doesn't happen, I just hate that, because I'm usually a person who keeps his word. But real life stuff, work, all that's kind of held me back in these things. So, yeah, but that's going to change now. So, anyway, let's talk about some older topics that everybody talked already about, but now I talk about it. So let's go ahead. Of course, everybody knows already that J.J. Abrams is going to direct the new Star Wars Episode 7. Now, this comes as somewhat of a surprise, since he is already helming the new and successful Star Trek movie franchise, the rebooted timeline, where Spock travels back in time in order to save the Romulan planet, fails, and what happens is you have an entirely new timeline. Which, in my opinion, I'll get back to talk about, because people think that the old timeline is erased. No, it's just a new timeline. That doesn't mean they will ever go back and do more series or movies in the old timeline. Jerry has put it out well. At least we have some kind of Star Trek, because I find the movie is good, but you know, he's been saying this is for the new generation, the and stuff. It's like for a generation who hasn't grown up with some kind of Star Trek, and this is kind of reintroducing the old Star Trek to a new generation. So, the other reason is people think that the old timeline has erased. That's not the case, because in Star Trek terms, if that would have been the case, then old Spock would have disappeared. Or changed, or something. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, now he's going to helm the new Star Wars movie, and if successful, then he probably will do also Episode 8 and Episode 9, which is the plan. And my question is, what is Episode 7 going to be about? Now, a lot of people have speculated it's going to be based on one of the many novels that have been released that play after the Episode 6. I'm actually have another idea. I know, I'm pretty sure that George Lucas originally not only wrote 6 scripts, he wrote 9. So I don't know if 7, 8, and 9 will be that, but I hear that it's going to be completely original, more or less. And I like that. I like that it's going to be original. Now, with J.J. Abrams filming, Jerry put it out really well in his latest Mondo Coolcast, which you should check out after, of course, you listen to the Beastcast. and you probably have already listened to the Mondo Coolcast if you have been listening to this, but who knows. So, Episode 7, I'm not so sure about this. I think I'm a big fan of Star Wars, I really am, but I'm kind of thinking that we're kind of diluting the awesomeness of Star Wars here, and whoa, that came out of nowhere. But Star Wars, I don't know. Star Wars should be awesome. It should be special, you know. So, what I mean about this that I'm excited for it, and I was, but now that we'll have J.J. Abrams, I'm kind of fearing that we'll have a lot of shaky cam and a lot of lens flares, and with all the laser blasts and lightsabers, how much lens flare can we get? It's kind of like, I don't know, like, it could be great because in a way he did Star Trek, he made Star Trek into Star Wars, which is one of the reasons why I didn't like the movie so much. I mean, I liked the movie, but it just didn't felt as much as Star Trek, if it makes any sense, you know. I mean, I don't know. I'll have to just have to think about that one. So right now I can't say anything. It's just some people are like saying, "Oh, now he's making." Some of the older fans are saying, "Oh, now he's making Star Wars and Star Trek." You know, Star Wars is still. I mean, they say 2015 it's gonna be released, but I'm not sure that it's really gonna be released 2015. I mean, that's like 2 years away, you know, and you have to build sets. I mean, you cannot green screen everything, right? Even the new trilogy had some sets, so you gotta have sets. You'll have to have a script. You have to have. The only actors that have been confirmed, I think, are the old characters, of course, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, those people, you know, from the old trilogy, which I like that they're gonna bring it back. The only thing I heard story-wise is that Luke Skywalker is the new head of the Jedi Council, and he's gonna be doing the new Jedi Temple. Coruscant. Now, I wish that the Jedi Temple would be on Dagobah, because I always liked that, because the Force is strong in Dagobah, and after the whole betrayal, it makes more sense that the Jedi Temple would be somewhere more remote and wouldn't have as strong of connections with the New Republic. Not that it doesn't trust the New Republic, but you know, they want to stay more on a neutral zone and not be, you know, ass raped like they got in the new trilogy and stuff, like originally. The thing is, the new trilogy kind of like, you know, I love the old trilogy, but the new trilogy was, I'm not saying it ruined the old trilogy, you know. Because I mostly disliked it, to be honest. I'm not one of those raging fanboys. I mean, I could find some of the good in it, you know, the special effects were cool for their time, but it's just ruined by so many elements. And you got episode one, you got Jar Jar Binks, and you got Annie, and you just got these elements that are just like so, like, this is supposed to be Darth Vader. Oh, he built C-3PO. How funny. It doesn't make any sense. Later in the movie, in the old trilogy, which is happening later, C-3PO. Okay, to be fair, in the episode 3, they said, oh, his memory is wiped, but R2-D2's isn't. And that means, also, the biggest problem I had, because okay, Darth Vader doesn't remember he built them. Fine, there's a lot of protocol droids and R2 units running around, but and he got brain damage and stuff when he fell into the lava. Fine, but you know, R2-D2 didn't get his brain wiped, so he would remember everything, and maybe he does. It's kind of funny, I guess, but Obi-Wan Kenobi doesn't remember him. Now, either Obi-Wan Kenobi is just simply getting old and getting, how you call that? You know, when they're senile, or like just, there's this sickness where they, when old people get, when they forget stuff. So I can't remember it right now. Alzheimer's there. He's Alzheimer's, you know? I mean, the thing is with Obi-Wan Kenobi, the problem is that, you know, they wanted to have R2-D2 and C-3PO again, but you had Obi-Wan Kenobi, and why wouldn't he remember R2-D2, who saved his ass in the new trilogy multiple times? There's so many problems with the movie and the continuity, you know. I mean, neither, we all know what those new movies were. I mean, Honestly, episode 1 was shit, all except the lightsaber battle with Darth Maul. And to be honest, I prefer the old school lightsaber battles, but I do enjoy the new one because I did like Qui-Gon Jinn and Darth Maul. They were my favorite characters from the movie. But it doesn't mean anything, you know. It's still a bad movie overall in many ways because you have Anakin just accidentally fall into a spaceship, then take down the space station, and you know, all I'm hoping is that Disney bought up Star Wars and basically Lucasfilm. And let's face it, they're just gonna do Star Wars. They're not gonna do a new Willow movie like I would like. They're not gonna do American Graffiti or like, you know, there can't be a Red Tails 2. And American Graffiti was great, the first one. I hear the second one wasn't so much. So there's no real big franchises where the only franchise where I could see they could make a sequel is possibly Willow. I mean, I think, wait. I think Indiana Jones is also Lucasfilm. So there could be possibly another Indiana Jones, but oh my God, we have seen the fourth one. So a lot of people were really turned off by the aliens. That was my biggest issue because it kind of fit with the whole pulp style and everything. Maybe the depiction of the aliens wasn't the best, but I kind of, you know, I did like it to a degree because you had always some supernatural element, but people might have been turned off by that. My biggest issue was many things. Like, I would say Harrison Ford was just way too old to be Indiana Jones at that point. Okay, he was shown as an older Indy, but you know, I mean, how long does Indiana Jones go out and do adventures? You know, I mean, by the time, I mean, he's becoming soon the old guy from the young Indiana Jones series. Like, if you remember that series where it was kind of a prequel series, him as a child and then a teenager. And it starts always with, you can see old Indiana Jones with like with an eye patch, and he's like really old, sitting in a train station, and it's somewhere in the 90s, I think. And he's telling this kid the story, and that's how it starts. And I always loved that series because, you know, we know his greatest adventures. Let's see what happened. You know, before it was basically a series. If you remember the third movie, you know, what is it? I can't remember it. Not the Riders of the Lost Ark. That's the first one, Temple of Doom. And I can't remember it. It's ridiculous. I can't remember. It's ridiculous. How can I not? Anyway, you know where he gets the Holy Grail, meets his dad, Sean Connery, and that movie starts out with a young Indy, a kid, who. And he has an adventure on a train station and stuff. And it's a really cool sequel, sequence. And basically, a series based off of that kid, more or less. So that was a cool idea. And in the 90s, it was pretty popular, at least to me. I liked it a lot because it was something Indiana Jones related without touching the movies. Now, honestly, I can't see a fifth movie happening because the fourth one was like, you know, let's make one more indie movie, blah blah blah, try to cash in on the nostalgia. And it failed, so I can't see it happening. So all I can see is new Star Wars movies, which is probably cool. A new Willow movie, I can't see, but you know, it would be kind of cool to have a new Willow movie because Warwick Davis, the guy who played Willow, you know, the small guy, or like what is it? What they like to be called? I think dwarf. They like to be called dwarf. Like midget is a no-no, but dwarf is cool, and dwarf is cool. I mean, he would like to reprise his role, and he's been, you know, actively he's been saying, "Yeah, I would like to play Willow again. Come on, LucasArts." And LucasArts, "Oh, we only do Star Wars now, and Star Wars games, and sell toys and shit." Lucasfilm in general used to be much cooler back in the day, if you think about it. I mean, you had LucasArts, and on the beginning, LucasArts' whole point was that they wanted to make games that felt like movies. And that's when they did, like, a bunch of experimental games. And of course, all of their awesome adventure games. You know, of course, Monkey Island, Indiana Jones, and the thing was, as a kid, I always thought that Fate of Atlantis would become Indiana Jones 4, you know, and that wasn't the case, so, you know, and of course, Zach McCracken, Maniac Mansion, of course, can't forget that, and had some great titles, and they were competing with Sierra, and that was the golden age of adventure games. And after that, after a while, it only became, what, Star Wars related games, you know, and now it's like, I don't know, the quality of games, I mean, I don't know, like, I haven't played old Star Wars, the online Old Republic game, but there's a couple of really good Star Wars games, but there's a bunch of shitty ones. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Jedi Knight series. To me, the next Star Wars should be, like, honestly, if I could have my way, I would make Jedi Knight the movie. Like, not started with Dark Forces, you know, but started with Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight, and then have a Jedi Knight trilogy, you know. And you could still have Luke Skywalker in there, and you could, you know, I mean, that would be a great idea. I mean, why not have Kyle Katharn? You could have kind of an in-between between Han Solo and Luke Skywalker, you know. But that's just me, and I don't think it's going to happen because, I mean, Jedi Knight has ended with Jedi Academy, and since then it has been just left alone, and that's the case. Anyway, so we'll have to wait and see with J.J. Abrams and what his lens flare magic will do to Star Wars. It could be great, it could suck, we'll have to wait and see. At least if we have some knowledge of the story, some kind of script, who writes the script. Let's talk about some other stuff. I'm just going to get this quick out of the way. Again, DC thing. I've been reading that DC has announced who the success, they've been announcing on the Superhero Hype, the website that I get most of my news off. They've been saying that the Justice League movie, that it will, the whole, you know, it depends, the success of I can't talk anymore. DC Warner is saying that they're saying that the Justice League movie will only be greenlit if the Man of Steel movie is successful enough, which is, in my eyes, it has to make at least $1 billion. Is that an extreme? You know, I mean, the movie is gonna cost, the new Superman movie is probably is costing about, you know, like the last one, about $300 million. That's not an over exaggeration. I mean, movies like this just tend to cost that much. Also, you have to see how the money got devaluated. Inflation got higher, so money is not the same anymore. Like, a movie 30 years ago was successful and it did $30 million. Now it's a flop, unless the movie cost only $1 million, because the dollar back then was much stronger, so $30 million was like much more worth, much more. And so, but they're just saying that, you know, kind of to scare all the DC Warner fans, because they're going to do a Justice League movie, you know. I mean, they just want to scare their fans into watching Man of Steel. They've been saying so much stuff, like, to get people hype for Man of Steel. And they want to, and it's like stuff like in that one magazine picture they showed, it's like, ooh, Superman is getting the Dark Knight treatment. And I'm like, oh my god, this is facepalm worthy material. I don't want to have Christopher Nolan anywhere near Superman, because he might have been great with Batman, but he does not get superheroes in general, especially not a guy like Superman. So I'm like, I know he's just the producer and Zack Snyder's the director, and I still hope that, you know, I mean, he did Watchmen, so, which I thought was awesome. So I'm hoping, you know, Superman, Man of Steel will be just as awesome. My issue is only so far is that, you know, no red underpants. I know it's a minor gripe, but it is weird. It makes him look like he's naked. It's just weird because I'm not saying that the costume design is so great or so awesome, but I'm used to it and I like it personally. You know, it's just how superheroes look like. They just wear silly, colorful costumes. But as a kid, you're kind of drawn to that kind of stuff, you know. Yeah, as an adult, it looks silly, but they don't look more silly than any other superhero, you know. I mean, Superman's costume in many ways is like the Alpha Omega, basically the blueprint of almost any superhero costume. I mean, yes, many are vastly different, but if you look at it, he would be the first. He's not the first to wear like a skin-tight spandex costume with the underwear part outside. That would be the Phantom who was the first. Yeah, the Phantom, yeah, he was the first to wear the domino style mask with the white eyelids. Yeah, the whole white eyelids thing that Batman does, yeah, that's from the Phantom. And also the skin tight outfit and stuff. So he was the first to do that. Now, the first superhero question, you know, most people would point to the Phantom, but you cannot ignore the Shadow, although you could argue the Shadow is more of a pulp character, but he's also a superhero in many ways because he's been also a big inspiration to Batman and to any subsequent Dark Knights or like characters that fight, you know, evil and enemies in the night. So the Shadow can't be ignored, and there's a couple of other ones. That's neither here nor there. This is a topic for another time, the first superhero, because it's always hard to pinpoint the first, you know, because there's always other elements that have inspired it. You know, you could argue that Zorro or the Scarlet Pimpernel or those characters, or a lot of people would point to Spring-Heeled Jack as like the very first superhero. I will do an episode talking about this one day. So, what are other topics to talk about? Yeah, that was Man of Steel. You know that as soon as Avengers, you know, became successful, I mean, DC announced, yeah, we're going to do Justice League. I mean, it was so obvious, you know. They knew that Marvel was doing Avengers, and they tried to do a Justice League movie, but when they wanted to cheap it out, they wanted to get, you know, unknown actors, and not even that. It wouldn't have been a problem if they would have been unknown actors, but they were very young actors and very, I don't know if that would have worked. I don't think so. And also the title already, Justice League Doom, had the whole, ooh, let's darken it up. Let's make it dark and gritty bullshit all over it. And I dislike that. You know that, guys. I don't have to tell you that anymore. But anyway, yeah, Justice League Doom, that was a failed project. We don't have to talk about it. I might have even talked about it. The point is, DC Warner's trying to scare you into watching Man of Steel. I mean, why say these things, you know? I mean, the fans aren't going to watch it. Superman fans will at least give it... DC fans will at least watch it because we have been dying for a good Superman movie for a long time. I mean, ever since the last Superman, good Superman movie was Superman 2, you know, and even that had already its issues, you know. But still, it was still a good Superman movie, I mean, but it wasn't near as good as the first one. And they have now released a Donner cut, but back then that's what we had. And then we had Superman 3 and 4, and Supergirl, if you really want to, and they all sucked. In various degrees, but they all sucked. I mean, Superman 3 is probably my least favorite. I know I should hate Superman 4 more. In many ways, it is worse, especially like special effects-wise and character-wise, and they got Don Cryer from Two and a Half Men, or Pretty in Pink, you know, Ducky, as Lex Luthor's nephew, Lenny Luthor, I believe, and he's just so obnoxious. I mean, if that doesn't make it a horrible movie, then I don't know what. I mean, and of course you have Nuclear Man, who's a really shitty version of Bizarro, and also the reason why they called him Nuclear Man, I don't get why they just couldn't call him Bizarro, You know, they could have even changed the costume. I would have been fine with that. But, you know, the thing is about Superman 4, as much as I hate it, it was the first proper, it was again a proper supervillain battle. You know, like you had actually somebody where Superman could punch the guy and stuff. In Superman 3, all it was Richard Pryor being a super genius and an obnoxious. Richard Pryor means Superman. I mean, the movie, the main character was Richard Pryor, pretty much. I mean, as a kid, I never understood. I didn't even knew who Richard Pryor is, and I was thinking, who's this guy? Why is he so prominently in the movie? You know, I didn't know his background. And Richard Pryor is actually a really funny comedian, but this was his least funny role. I mean, I know how popular he was in the 70s and 80s, but and he had some good movies, but this one isn't one of them. And I don't know, like the only element that, because even in turds like this, a lot of times there is good elements, like the whole point where Superman gets poisoned by the kryptonite, by the fake kryptonite, and he becomes evil is very much like effect of red kryptonite. And you know, Superman was in a bar drinking and stuff. It was a good time. I mean, it was kind of fun to see Superman like that. And I mean, maybe as a kid, not so much, because I was a huge Superman fan as a kid. You know, I mean, he was awesome. I still like him though, but I can see his flaws as a character, being the invulnerable super being that he is. I mean, yet I did power him down after some of the reboots, after, like, I would say, Crisis of Infinite Earths and Zero Hour. But, and all their freaking reboots, DC and their reboots, it's like a new team comes along and they have to reboot everything. And also they have to reboot everything because nobody can age. And now the new 52. I'm not going to get into the new 52. Ugh. I mean, oh, Superman and Wonder Woman are together, you know, big making out and shit. And my good friend from The Next Round, which is an awesome website, which you should check out if you're not checking it out, this podcast on there anyway, we have Lucifer's lawyer, who's a good friend of the show, and he's been telling me how lame it is how they just have Superman and Wonder Woman together. And, you know, I can understand Wonder Woman, but he pointed out, you know, Wonder Woman is not the stay-at-home mom. You know, she's very much the warrior woman, independent and stuff. And Superman wants a very traditional woman to be in his life, you know. And I totally agree with that, you know. Like, and that's why he pursues, for example, I always said Lana Lang would be really his perfect wife, and even Lois Lane. Lois Lane has her issues, but she does fit to. She's a one guy type of girl, in that type, you know. Even though they do depict her in different ways, but in that way, that's how it should be, you know. Wonder Woman and Batman really do fit better together because they're both very determined people who sometimes once a year. They're very much like, if you're an anime fan, they're like Bulma and Vegeta. You know, they actually can't stand each other, but they actually have the hots for each other, and then once a year they get together and have sex or something, and then you have a new Saiyan pop up or something. Which would be interesting, because Lucifer's lawyers pointed out you could have Batman of the future without all the tech stuff and make it explain really easily. Terry McGillis is the son of Batman, and which he is actually, but in a weird genetic bullshit thing. And but if you could do it that way, that he's the son of Batman and Wonder Woman, you know. But I don't know. That's neither here nor there. So we'll have to wait and see. I'm just rambling on right now, but we have to wait and see with the Justice League movie, because you have Will Beale writing the script, whose only script that has been published as far as I know is Gangster Squad, and I hear that movie sucked. It got like 33% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I'm not the biggest fan of Rotten Tomatoes, but already a kind of mafia-style movie like that, which I do enjoy, you know, called Gangster Squad just sounds really lame. Like, there's so many different titles you could choose, and Gangster Squad sounds just like, I don't know, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying Will Beale is a bad scriptwriter. I'm just saying, is he the right guy to pen possibly one of the greatest superhero epics ever? I mean, you had the Avengers, and I don't know who wrote the script for the Avengers, but I mean, it's just such a perfect way to do the Avengers. I mean, that's how a superhero movie really should be, you know, with these type of characters, you know. I mean, from all the superhero movies that have been published, Avengers in the new wave, Avengers has been one of my favorites, you know, really it has been. Yeah, Dark Knight and Batman Begins and Dark Knight Rises were good in their own way, but it wasn't so much about Batman, it was about the whole philosophy and stuff, and all this typical Christopher Nolan bullshit that he actually does pretty well. He's a good director, he's a good storyteller, but is he the right guy for a superhero movie? Batman is probably the only one that he could have done, because he did do it well, and did make Batman relevant again, and cool, I guess, for the new kids. But we'll have to wait and see. I'm really excited to see how the Batman is going to be in Justice League. I heard some rumors, and I did talk about that it's going to be, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character. And as much as I like Joseph Gordon-Levitt, if Joseph Gordon-Levitt would have been made as, like, Robin, you know, and he would have been taking the mantle of Batman, then I could accept it more. But even then, I would have him rather as Nightwing. And I don't want to have just some random cop being Batman, then meeting Superman. I want to have Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent meet. It's just that simple. You know, DC, Warner, can't you not do that? You've been cock blocking that meeting, that in live action, not in animation, but in live action, you've been cock blocking that for years. And I'm not saying I'm the biggest fan of Smallville, but there you had a chance. You know, you could have done it, but you said, "Oh no, we're making Batman movies. We cannot have that." All that they could have was mention Gotham twice, and on the very end, as far as I know, vaguely hint at Bruce, you know, like, what is it, that Chloe chick, she says, "Oh, I met this guy in Gotham, he, like, has toys and shit." Like, this is the only time they could mention Batman, that, oh yeah, Batman exists in this universe, but you'll never see him, so go fuck yourself. That's why they used Green Arrow extensively, because they were planning to use Batman, but, you know. And then Green Arrow in that series was pretty cool. Speaking of Arrow, I just watched one of the new episodes. I think episode 10. And it's still episode 11 and soon to come out episode 12 on Hulu. And it was a fun episode. It was with Firefly, another minor Batman villain, who they, of course, you know, dark and gritty and Nolan-versed. But it was still a fun episode. You know, it was a... You know, I'm not going to spoil it. You know, watch it. I see it as its own thing. But at times, the whole soap opera bullshit and the whole whining, bitching, and moaning and the whole, "Oh, I don't know if I can do this." I don't know. Like, I always seen Oliver Queen as kind of the jokester kind of guy. He's... The actor is still very stiff, you know. He's not yet the Ollie Queen that I know, or that we know. I mean, also the whole makeup thing instead of the domino mask, I mean, it just looks so stupid, honestly, and it wouldn't protect his identity worth shit. I mean, okay, he always conveniently stands in a way that, you know, his hood darkens his features, but, you know, all you need is a flashlight, and then, oh, there you go, it's Ollie. With a domino mask, at least you could, you know, get away with it more, you know, I mean, even freaking, what is it, Huntress, their version of Huntress has a domino mask. Like, why can Green Arrow? I mean, I know, oh, I remember when you had, what's his name, the guy who's Captain Jack Harkness, who is Merlin in this series, And I actually like him a lot, you know. I mean, I'm a fan of Captain Jack Harkness, so it's a given. And he's been saying, you know, we should stop calling the guy the Hood constantly. I have an idea for a name, Green Arrow. And then Holly says, lame. And I'm like, this is basically DC Warner thinking, like, this is what our viewers want. This is our viewership. They think Green Arrow is lame, but we just call him the Hood of Starling City. Like, why can't you call him Green Arrow, okay? Like, it is a Green Arrow series. Calling it Arrow, I mean, I've been saying that shit all over again. I said that before. I'm just going to go to a new topic. You know, I mean, to one degree, fuck Arrow. To the other degree, hey, it's a TV series based off a DC character. That's kind of cool. Who knows? They've been saying that they're still planning the Wonder Woman TV series Amazon. But they're saying it's not going to come out this year. I'm thinking they're just waiting to see how successful Arrow is going to be, how Man of Steel is going to be. They're waiting a little bit. Fine. They even hinted that, you know, possibly they could be in the same universe. And I said, what? First you're saying no superpowers, no any of that gay stuff, you know. It's like, we just want to have it dark and gritty and manly and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you can have it dark and gritty and manly and still have some superpowers, you know. We're not asking for, like, fucking Booster Gold and Blue Beetle to show up or, you know, shit like that. We're just asking to, like, some characters that Green Arrow fights that actually, like, if you're gonna put in the Royal Flush Gang, don't have them just be some dudes with masks and AK-47, okay? It's like fucking Smallville in many ways all over again, but I'm going to stop here now. Here's another news that, it's an old news that Toss79, good friend of the show, awesome guy, you should check out his stuff. I think his new name is Tomcat X, but I'm not quite sure. And I hate the whole name changing stuff that they want. I don't know. Check out Toss79 stuff. He's awesome. He does toy reviews and shit. And, Adam, basically the news is that, Marvel has been going to Adam Sandler and Jim Carrey for possible roles in their Guardian of the Galaxy movie, and people are basically throwing shit fit, you know. Shit fit? I can't talk today. Whatever. Basically is that Adam Sandler and Jim Carrey possibly will have voice roles as kind of comic relief, and they're thinking that they possibly could voice, you know, one of them could voice Gru, the big tree dude, or Rocket Raccoon. I'm not the biggest lore master in Guardians of the Galaxy, but I do enjoy what I've known and seen of it, and I do know some characters a little bit more, because there's so many goddamn Marvel characters and so many goddamn comic book characters, it's really hard to keep up, even for a nerdy guy, but I kind of get the premise. They're kind of a space police in a sense. So I really don't want really Adam Sandler anywhere near Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, if he does a voice role and stuff, you know, maybe. But I can't see Adam Sandler really hitting that off, because Adam Sandler is all comedy and whatever, and a lot of shitty comedy. He made a couple of good movies, but you know, Jim Carrey I can see still. Because Jim Carrey, you know, he's been involved with some comic book stuff. I mean, you know, The Mask, which was awesome, and then you have Batman Forever, which sucked, kind of. Although, Batman Forever, as much as I dislike it, I did like Val Kilmer as Batman in this one. He was just in the wrong Batman movie, you know. But, anyway, that's neither here nor there. I don't know if Adam, you know, Toss79 has said if Adam Sandler's going to be cast and the movie's going to be fucked, and I said, right now, Marvel's just going around and just doing a lot of pre-work. They're just asking people. It's not official. It's just a rumor that, of course, Latino Review, which is kind of weird, is Latino Review, they get some of the hottest news on these things, you know? I mean, it's crazy, but they're doing something right. So if you want to get the hottest news on these things, Latino Review is the place to go. And a lot of it is rumors, but rumors that are very possible that, you know, probably are not just rumors. And a lot of times I'm thinking the studios are, you know, a lot of times they are not accidentally, you know, they are willfully, they put out information but say, oh, it's a rumor, oh, we accidentally leaked this and leaked that, because they want to know what the fans think, you know, especially Marvel is very concerned with the fans, and I'm pretty sure that Adam Sandler is not going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy movie, because Guardians of the Galaxy is not yet in production. It's going to be soon in production, as far as I understand, but right now, the movies that they're making are, the next one is going to be Iron Man 3, which is, at this point, I'm pretty sure in post-production. Then you got Thor 2, you got Captain America 2, which, I'm kind of, the second phase of Marvel is kind of like sequel, and Guardians of the Galaxy. So Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be the big one that is going to be different. And it's going to be have some hurdles to climb, but it's, you know, that's more of the science fiction superhero kind of thing side of Marvel. Because after Guardians of the Galaxy, you're going to have Avengers 2. And as far as I understand, I mean, you'll have Thanos and stuff, so you'll be, will be in space, which is going to be awesome. And I even heard some rumors that the Guardians are going to be in Iron Man 3, which would be awesome. But we'll have to wait and see, because at this point, any character could be anywhere. But, you know, I don't think Punisher's going to pop up. Although, I just read some recent news of an animated movie that Marvel is releasing soon. Let me check it out again. It's ridiculous. I'm not finding it right now. There. Iron Man Rise of the Techno War. Every time I say Techno War, I always think that it's like, not war as in war, but war. Kind of reminds me of Technodrome from Turtles. And they're trying to compete now with DC Animated, which is the straight-to-DVD DC Universe movies. And Marvel has not been too good with those. Like, I did enjoy some of them, but Marvel is doing better with live-action, and DC is doing way better with Animated, other than, of course, the Dark Knight trilogy. So, because you have like stuff like Green Lantern and Superman Returns, which were just horrible in many different ways. And now, but it's funny because, you know, DC does really well because they have Paul Dini and working them all, like the same guys who did the series. And Marvel is very hit and miss. Some of them are great, some of them are meh. I mean, you had Hulk Versus, which was pretty cool. And Marvel Ultimate, what is it? There was one, it was a two-part movie, but it was like Ultimate Avengers or something like that. And it was basically an adaptation of the Ultimates, and that was made before Avengers was done. So it was cool to see something. At that point, it was cool to see, and it was awesome in a way, but, you know, it probably didn't age that well, because now you have a live-action Avengers, you have the Avengers TV series that got cancelled. Oh yeah, by the way, I hear that Young Justice got cancelled, and Green Lantern, the series, the animated series, got cancelled, and I'm like saying, why? Young Justice especially, I hear so many good things about it, and people love it so much. It's basically a team of all the sidekicks of all the great superheroes, and I'm like, basically, it's not the Teen Titans, but it's kind of the Teen Titans, but it's Young Justice. It's cool. I mean, as far as I've seen, the little things I've seen from it, it looked cool. And it's going to be on Netflix, which is cool, but why cancel it, you know? I mean, how many seasons did it have, you know? It's just like Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, got canceled after 2 seasons because, oh, no, we're going to make now a new Avengers. It's going to be more like the movie. And I'm like, why not take the series Earth's Mightiest Heroes and just redesign some of the characters, especially Iron Man? You can make the Iron Man suit look just like the movie, and I don't get it. So this one looks kind of interesting because it has on the cover, you know, you have Iron Man and Hawkeye and War Machine and Black Widow, and they look a lot like they look basically like the movie versions. Of course, Black Widow has the style of them is also very much anime because Black Widow has gigantic boobs. I mean, yeah, Scarlett Johansson has got big, nice boobies, but I mean, anime boobs. I mean, they're just like bang, you know, they're there and defy gravity in all kinds of sorts and manners. And then you have on the very right, just like an awkward photobomb, you got Punisher. Now, I find it interesting, but I'm like, Punisher? I mean, he's in the Marvel Universe, I know, but it's just like, Punisher? Now, that's what intrigues me. It's like, you know, anytime Punisher pops up and deals with the other superheroes, it's always like, you know, they don't like Punisher and stuff. And as far as I read from the storyline, it could be really cool, really interesting. And that means Punisher could show up in the new Marvel Universe because Marvel has gained the rights back. And what I'm thinking with this movie, with this animated movie, I don't know, because since the characters look very much like the movie versions, is this an official Marvel Cinematic Universe tie-in? Because Hawkeye looks the same. He has the new and improved outfit, the S.H.I.E.L.D. outfit, with as little purple as ever and no mask, which is fine, you know. It's basically the Ultimates outfit, more or less. And so that's interesting. I'll have to wait and see if this is any good. I mean, it has kind of an anime-style look to it, but a more realistic one. And it's kind of an... because they had, apparently, a Iron Man anime before that I've seen, and also a Wolverine anime, which looked horrible. But the Iron Man anime looked cool. I could see them, in an anime version, doing Iron Man well, because it's a dude in robot suit, and the Japanese kind of tend to do that well. So let's wait and see. Iron Man Rise of the Techno War, not the Technodrome, people. Techno War. Could be interesting. We'll have to wait and see. And if it's an official tie-in, that would be like, yes, Punisher might pop up in the movies. And that would be kind of cool, you know. Even just you know, we can't have Spider-Man, we can't have Fantastic Four, ugh. We can't have X-Men, but we can have the Punisher, because they got the rights back, so who knows. But yeah, that was that. And now we have, holy shit, it's already 47 minutes. Robotech movies, yeah. Robotech, that's an old news now, but apparently this guy, Nick Mathieu, he says Robotech movie, a.k.a. Macross movie, is going to happen. I've read news about that way back where Tobey Maguire was going to produce, and I was like, is he going to star too? Because he's a little bit old for that. But yeah, producing, I can see that. And it could be interesting. You gotta wait and see, you know, how these projects are. A lot of them are in development hell, and a lot of them just languish there. They have announced so many goddamn movies, and only a fraction got ever made. Excuse me. So we'll have to wait and see if that really gets to happen. I'm gonna... I always say I wait till the trailer. If I see the trailer, yeah, that's an official trailer, then I'm like saying, okay, this is possibly going to happen. You know, even then, even when Watchmen came out, there are some people, some legal mumbo-jumbo wanted to stop the movie. I think Alan Moore or something. Because like, oh, you cannot make a movie out of my comic book and give me a bunch of money and royalty check. I mean, Alan Moore is a freaking old crazy hermit. He's basically like Saruman at this point. No, Alan Moore is Saruman. It's just how it is. I mean, he's a great and very talented and very genius comic book writer, but he's not the alpha and omega of humanity, okay? So he needs to, you know, I know, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen wasn't really that close of an adaption. And what I mean is, like, not close an adaption, and like, I hear it totally failed on all fronts in that thing. I personally enjoyed the movie, but I didn't know the comic book. Probably if I would know the comic book, I wouldn't like the movie. But I still kind of liked it because it was kind of 19th century Avengers. Yeah. But... yeah, I... probably didn't age that well, but I still kind of enjoyed it as a dumb flick. The comic book is probably much better. Alan Moore, get over it, you know. V for Vendetta, I thought was a good adaptation. Of course, Alan Moore hated it. Watchmen was a really good adaptation. Of course, he hated it. So he just hates movies in general. He actually admitted that the movie adaptation of Watchmen is the closest thing he could imagine the Watchmen being adapted to. So that's like his closest thing of saying, yeah, I like the adaptation. Like, he cannot say straight up. Like, he said, while the movie was being made, like, I will spit poison on it. He, like, refused to have his name in the credits. I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, what is wrong with you, man? I get it. Some movie adaptations suck. But just, you know, he's like the ultimate and evil fanboy. Anyway, Robotech to Alan Moore. What can you say? So they already announced, this is already kind of old news, but they announced that in the third Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 3 is going to kick off with Ant-Man. Yeah, Ant-Man. But, you know, I could see this being an interesting movie. They've been saying that it's going to be a movie, but from a different perspective. It's going to be the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but from a different perspective. And I don't know what that means, but exactly. I mean, I'm thinking it's going to be like a guy who is, you know, the scientist, and he's just discovered something, and then you have all these crazy things happen, and then it's a reaction to it. And they said they're only making the movie because the script kind of convinced them. Like, they weren't sure that they needed to make an Ant-Man movie, and I think nobody was really sure that if we really need to have an Ant-Man movie. And they also announced that Doctor Strange is going to be in the Phase 3. So I'm really excited for that. And because they already hinted to Doctor Strange in Thor, when you see it. It's a very small hint, but in the Treasures of Odin, you know, where he has the Tesseract. I think it's the Tesseract. Yeah, or some of the Ghibli goop stone of awesomeness or something. In the background you can see the Eye of Agamotto, which is one of the most powerful artifacts in the Marvel Universe, and it's the one that Doctor Strange uses. So with Doctor Strange, we'll really dive deep into the magical side of Marvel. I mean, so far you had only Thor to have the magical side really represented, but this time we'll have a true wizard as a good guy, like a true mage. I mean, Thor is basically the guy who throws his hammer around, which is awesome, and it's magical and whatever, but, you know, we'll have a proper wizard, you know, and dealing with possibly also other dimensions and shit, so there's a whole big possibility. Also, there's been other hints, like in one of, I think in Iron Man 2, where you can see a monitor where you can see the Earth and where there's a bunch of activity going on that is interesting to S.H.I.E.L.D. And on one of the spots, it was in Africa, which everybody agreed and has been officially said also that is Wakanda. So we'll have Black Panther 2, which is awesome. So, you know, they obviously also want to get their their you know, have some non-white superheroes in the group, which is a good idea right now to have, you know, a good mixture of ethnicity in your superhero group. And Black Panther is one of the most known black superheroes. And you'll also have the Falcon in Captain America 2, which is going to be quite interesting. And there's still a lot of potential here, because you could have now a Punisher movie and a Daredevil movie tie-in. And I wouldn't mind to have Punisher and Daredevil to have some more street level characters, you know, and their perspective of all the happenings, you know, how they see it, especially like a Punisher movie, like the Diaries, the Punisher War Diaries or whatever, and have him just say how crazy this whole thing is, because he's very much a normal guy, even more normal than Daredevil. I mean, he's just a guy with some guns and a bad attitude and some awesome training. Yeah, so there's a lot of potential. I could even see, I personally would think it would be awesome to have a Sentry movie, but I mean, Sentry is kind of a minor character in many ways. I mean, most people don't know him. To have a full movie with him would be kind of weird, but maybe putting him into the Avengers. And then you have also, there's a lot of characters they could use. I mean, of course, She-Hulk to have more female. And you could have Ms. Marvel, which I think would be cool, like they have now in the Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes, to have a female. You know, you could have, like, basically somebody like Wonder Woman, in a way, in the group. Okay, that was basically, Marvel is doing their thing well. I mean, it's good that they're announcing that stuff. And when Marvel announces stuff nowadays, you know they're going to keep their word. I mean, they have so far done well. I don't see any reason why they would fail in the next one. Maybe not every movie is going to be super successful, but as long as they make money off of it, it's going to be fine. I think it's going to be good. And people are saying, oh, they're putting out too many movies and stuff. And no, they're not putting off enough movies. I want to see this whole universe being built out. And you have also, of course, the S.H.I.E.L.D. series, which has a lot of potential there, even to possibly introduce new superheroes. I could see, like, guys like, what is it, Iron Fist, and, what is it, Power Man, or Luke Cage pop up. You know, that would be interesting. I see on other fronts here, of course, they announced a Fantastic Four reboot with the guy who directed that one movie with those kids who just, you know, it's kind of like a Cloverfield found footage thing. I don't know if it's good or anything. Chronicle, there we go. I don't know if this guy really should do a Fantastic Four movie, because I want the Fantastic Four franchise to revert back to Marvel. And you know they're only making this reboot to keep the franchise, because now they're getting to the point where it's again 5 years, and I hope it's gonna revert back somehow. You know, with Daredevil, they waited too long and they couldn't get the director, and they almost made a deal where Marvel could get some of the characters from Fantastic Four, but then they didn't want it. It's just so weird. I really wish Marvel would have all their stuff together. Eventually, though, there's a chance that they could get it back, but it all depends. I personally hope this reboot fails before it even gets filmed. You know, I'd rather not see ever a new Fantastic Four movie than Fox make one. Yes, I'm that serious, because I want to have Fantastic Four in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. If we can't have Spider-Man, if we can't have X-Men, at least I want to have Fantastic Four, because Marvel will do it right. You don't have to do a full movie. If you can just have, you know, Reed Richards pop up to Tony Stark and says, hey, yeah, I can help you with some gadgets and shit. Let me stretch over here and get this shit. You know, already that I would be happy for. And then possibly have a new movie. You know, I would wait with the reboot. And it would be just kind of fun to have Johnny Storm, you know, and the Torch, Johnny Storm, and Captain America next to each other. Because, you know, Chris Evans played Johnny Storm in the first two Fantastic Four movies. But whatever. I see him more as Captain America anyway now, so. Other news. X-Men Days of Future Past. There's been a lot of buzz about this movie. Like, there's going to be Kitty Pryde in it. And there's going to be a bunch of actors of the previous movie. Of course, the Iceman dude, Sean Ashmore. I just can't stand this guy. He's just like, oh, I'm Sean Ashmore, look at me. Oh, Sean Ashmore. That's his whole thing. It's like, yeah, okay, so you were on Smallville. It's like he's Jimmy Olsen. Jimmy Olsen is Iceman, what the fuck? And he's like, I'm Sean Ashmore. That's his whole thing. He's like, oh, I'm a good-looking guy with blue eyes. And I was in Earthsea, and I kind of fucked up that franchise too. I mean, okay, Earthsea wasn't that bad, but it wasn't that great either. And as far as I hear, it's deviated from the book a lot. And that's not necessarily Sean Ashmore's fault. But, you know, I don't like the Iceman from the movies, you know. I mean, it took him 3 movies just to ice up properly to be really Iceman. I mean, who knows? Hopefully in this future past one, since it's going to have time travel in it, basically, they travel to a timeline where there's big war against the mutants, and you have the Sentinels pop up everywhere. And I think it's a cool idea they're doing that, and they're getting Bryan Singer back. And he said already, all the movies are gonna be, he's gonna be respectful, so it's gonna be their kind of like. But I'm guessing they're gonna use the time travel thing to explain some of the continuity errors. You know, we'll have to wait and see. First Class, I mean, this is the sequel to First Class, so First Class was actually pretty cool. But again, I'm always just so pissed that it cannot be in the cinematic universe, you know. Unless you really want to, you know. If you want to, it can be somehow, you know. Make your own canon, that's what I say. Also, they're making the Wolverine because Fox wants to keep that X-Men money flowing. So I think they would be more open of losing Fantastic Four than they would be to lose X-Men. Yeah, I don't think that would be reverting back anytime soon, unless those two movies really, really fail, which I don't think so. As long as they do everything right with the Wolverine movie, I think it's going to be fine. Also, Godzilla, they're making a new Godzilla movie, and I have been, since a little kid, I've been always a big Godzilla fan. I do enjoy the old movies. There was the 1998 film, didn't hate it that much like other people did, but if I compare it with the other Godzilla movies, there was a lot of issues. And it was funny, they hated the movie so much that they had, in one of their later Godzilla movies, they had the creature which people thought was Godzilla in that 1998 movie. They just called him Zilla. And Godzilla, the proper Godzilla, killed him with his breath weapon. And it was like, it was basically a big fuck you to the people who made the 1998 Godzilla movie. Toho, that was Toho's fuck you. And now the new one, I've seen some art, some concept art, and it looked awesome. Because they wanted to make Godzilla properly look like Godzilla and feel like Godzilla, give him a proper breath weapon. But then they have now this new reports. Oh, it's going to be like, how would Godzilla really be in this day and age? And like, we're going to make it realistic and gritty. And no. Do not say these words with a Godzilla movie. I mean, with some superhero movies, you could maybe do it. But, you know, the whole gritty and dark thing doesn't really work with gigantic lizards and monsters fighting each other. They promised something that he's going to fight at least another monster. Possibly two. We'll have to wait and see. There's just been a teaser trailer and some stuff. So it's not too much information to go on. So I think Pacific Rim might steal the thunder of Godzilla. Because Pacific Rim does look pretty sweet. Because you got giant robots and giant monsters fighting each other. Pretty basic premise, but it does look really cool and does open possibilities for, and it's a whole new franchise, so I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Like, make more new franchises, especially also in science fiction and fantasy, you know. I really would enjoy that. You know, that's some stuff that I would like to watch. Pacific Rim, Del Toro is directing it, and I'm excited for that. He's a good director. He did Hellboy and stuff, and what is it? Pan's Labyrinth. So it looks cool, and you know, I don't remember that he made ever a science fiction movie. I might be wrong. I probably am. But this is like proper, you know, crazy big robots, big monsters. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. But the trailer is very promising. Also, now the new G.I. Joe movie is finally coming out that has been stalled for a year. It was supposed to come out last year. But the test screenings didn't do well because, you know, apparently Duke gets killed pretty early. And now it's going to be something that he doesn't get killed, you know, because Duke is... It's like, you know, having an Avengers movie and then having Cap get killed off and early in the movie. You know, you just don't do that. I remember Mortal Kombat Annihilation, like, killed off Johnny Cage really early in the movie. Even though he was some other actor. Because, yes, in Mortal Kombat 2, after the storyline, Shao Kahn does kill Johnny Cage. That's why he's not in Mortal Kombat 3, yeah. But eventually they do resurrect him and stuff. But the thing is, don't kill him off in the beginning of the movie. You know, you could have him made it in a dramatic fight in the middle of the movie and then have some real tension there, some real interesting. But, you know, Mortal Kombat Annihilation sucked big balls. I mean, it's at best, it's a movie that is so bad it's good, but mostly it's as a big Mortal Kombat fan, I was really disappointed, especially on the depiction of Cyrax, Sector, and Jax. The second season of Mortal Kombat Legacy looks more like what I wanted to have from the Mortal Kombat Annihilation. So that looks like a great way of continuing a live-action Mortal Kombat, is just continuing the series, possibly make a movie in the future, but it's not necessary, you know. Anyway, that's pretty much all the movie news I'll be talking about, which was ridiculously much, but I got all of that out of the way. And I've been playing some video games again. I tried out this Steam game called Home, which is a really interesting adventure horror game, but it's not what you would think. It's very cerebral in many ways, because not a lot of stuff technically happens, but you know, it does manage to actually get some chills out of you, even though it's a very pixelated kind of a side-scrolling pixel fest. You know, it's has huge pixels and shit, which I personally enjoy, and they keep the style very consistent, you know. And it's the typical indie game syndrome that, you know, the less budget, a lot of times, the more pixely it gets. But here it's kind of an intentional thing, and it works pretty well. You're basically this character who wakes up in the middle of a, I think, somewhere, I don't even remember, you're somewhere outside in front of a factory or something, or in a house of some sort, and you just find all these objects laying around, and these you find a bloody knife, you find a corpse and stuff, and you can decide to pick it up or to investigate, and every decision is interesting, because it's kind of changes the storyline in a way, because like you're kind of trying to remember what happened, and it's so weird because there is basically, you can play it through again and have different endings. So that's kind of the point of it. That's a short game. You can play it through in like, I played it through in like an hour and 10 minutes, maybe an hour and 50 minutes. And, you know, it's not very hard either for an adventure game. I mean, it's all about the ending and the experience, you know. It's a very different game, and there's a lot of people don't like it for that, but I personally think it's pretty cool. Lone Survivor, that looks very similar, also side-scrolling, also pixely, but not as pixely, you know. It has a little bit more detail to it, and in a way, it looks pretty cool. That one is more like a traditional survival horror game, but it has some very, you know, you play it like a side-scrolling game. You can pick up objects like a, you know, adventure game. You eventually will find a gun, but in the beginning you have to actually hide in corridors from these monsters, which are kind of zombie-like, but more like mutant-like creatures. Pretty creepy things. Also, your character doesn't seem to be sure what is reality and what is not. You know, and there's some, I have already some theories what could be up, and it's very interesting. Kind of, it's like the closest thing to a side-scrolling Resident Evil, but very, more like Silent Hill, possibly, and very dealing with reality and stuff. And you gotta eat food, you gotta go to sleep, and stuff like that. And you can take, you can find some certain pills, and then you have these weird dreams, and at times it's very surreal, and it can be pretty scary in a way, but, you know, it's not Amnesia Dark Descent, simply because it's not first person and not 3D. Still, it can get pretty scary, because there's some, because basically the world is, like, at its end, and everything is destroyed, and you have these monsters running around, you know, just want to eat you and stuff, and Yeah, but the thing is, for example, with Amnesia Dark Descent, you just cannot fight, you know. It's like, I was at a point where I found one of the objects that I needed to fix this elevator, And this is kind of a spoiler, but whatever. And then there's this monster that hunts you, and I was just running away, and I thought, oh, I'm getting away, I'm getting away, sweet. And then, in front of me, either it was the same monster or it was another monster, and I wasn't sure, and I was just, fuck, I'm trapped. And that's what's kind of a terror, you know, and then, yeah. That's scary, really, because there's nothing you can do about it. It's this helplessness, you know. I mean, you can pick up objects and throw them. I don't think they would do a lot against these creatures. But anyway, Lone Survivor, great game, you should check it out. I played a little bit of Trapped Dead, I got it in a bundle. It's another zombie survival action game, you know, like Left 4 Dead in a sense, but it's a top-down one with 3D graphics. You play it kind of like a, you know, you point and click where your character goes. I have some issues with the controls. I could only play it on another computer, not on my laptop. For some reason, it didn't run. It should have run, because it's not that of a specky game. But the specs are not as high. But the controls were kind of lame because, you know, you had to... Me switching to weapons and stuff was kind of an issue. But I'm going to give it another shot, like a serious shot one of these days, and see if I can't get away. But some of the controls I have an issue with. I mean, it looks nice and stuff, but it doesn't look like anything special, you know. It looks like kind of almost like a strategy zombie game, like a real-time strategy game in a sense. Because apparently you can get other survivors too. I'll have to wait and see with that. Trapped Dead, I don't know yet. Probably not going to like it that much. I played some Star Trek Online, which was pretty cool. It wasn't as bad as a lot of people said. Now, it has some issues, like a lot of times when you get a new message, you get the window right smack in the middle. And it gets kind of annoying when you're in the middle of space with your spaceship or when you're running around on a planet with enemies around you. It becomes kind of annoying, so that's kind of a design flaw. Also, some of the controls and some of the HUD design isn't the best. And, of course, it's very action-heavy. It's like plays after Star Trek Nemesis, like 30 years after Star Trek Nemesis, and the event of, you know, when the Romulan planet blew up or something, which also happened in Star Trek, the movie, the reboot. And, It's not bad. Like, you can design your character. You have a bunch of classical Star Trek races you can choose. You play First Federation. You can also play Klingon, but apparently you have to, like, level up to level 23. And I'm like, why? Why can't I be just a Klingon from the beginning? I'm going to be swinging around my bathlet and stuff. Or my... whatever. Also, some of the ground missions were, like, way too easy, I think. Like, I was fighting Klingons, and I was just grinding through them like they would be nothing. And, okay, I'm shooting phasers at them and shit, but... I don't know, like, the close combat could be done better. It has some issues, but it's kind of fun, and it's kind of fun to fly through the... if you're a Star Trek fan. I've been watching a lot of Star Trek, so that's why I enjoy it. It's a free-to-play game, and there's a lot of microtransactions items, but... As far as I can see, you can play a long time without touching any of that stuff. So, that's cool. And it's mostly stuff like, you know, new costumes and new spaceships. Like, you can get the original Enterprise, and you can get the original uniforms, and you can also get the next generation ones. I mean, they have the costumes and a lot of all the ships from all the movies, the TV series. And that's sweet. You know, that's really cool. I mean... Although, you know, I was hoping that you could start and design your spaceship from scratch, which you can design it to a degree, but you have to buy a lot of stuff, and free to play. I don't know yet. Still, I know they have to make their money, and I don't know how well they're doing. They're probably not doing that well if they were forced to go free to play, but every MMO is free to play now. I think they'll be around. They've been around now for 3 years. They'll be around for a little bit longer, I think. There's enough. I've seen a lot of spaceships fly around, so there's enough players for it to sustain it and there's enough Star Trek fans that, you know, take the good with the bad, and just enjoy it for what it is. And that was a mission that was kind of cool. You had to, it was so-called diplomatic mission, and you had to go down to the surface with the shuttle, because you had to go down to Vulcan, and it was cool to be on Vulcan, and obviously you cannot go to the entire planet, but there's a big area that you can wander around in, and that's cool. You know, you had the Vulcans standing around and talking shit. Then you get this diplomat dude, and usually the text, when they talk to you, it's just text like most MMOs, because you have so much text to do everything. Voiceover is pretty, would be expensive. I mean, the only MMO that I know that does voiceover everywhere is Star Wars, The Old Republic. And you have to pick up the guy because he said he doesn't want to be transported, but, you know, he had a voiceover voice. Because it's kind of weird, it's just random who has a voiceover voice and who doesn't. I think that's also kind of a design flaw, that there should be somewhat of a main quest where you have voiceovers and then everything else shouldn't be. Because it kind of gets a problem if you have one guy having a voiceover and then the other one doesn't. It's just kind of weird. So you pick the guy up with the shuttle. But you know, when you go into the shuttle, you're actually inside of the shuttle, because when you control your spaceship, it's from a third-person view. Although you can go onto your bridge, but that's more of a, you know, I'm on the bridge, eh? And you can't do anything from your bridge, which is kind of lame. You know, I really wish that you could control your ship from the bridge. I mean, is that too much to ask? And maybe have, you know, other players that are your friends, one of them be the engineer, one of them be the medical officer. You see, that's how I would imagine a Star Trek. But no, everybody's a captain, basically, and has their own ship. I don't know. And, you know, Spoonie and Angry Joe has really dragged this game through the dirt, but it's not so bad, honestly. It's pretty enjoyable for an MMO, and it's set in the Star Trek universe, and it does follow Star Trek really closely. And although you can, you know, it's cool, I think. And since it's in the future, and it plays in the old timeline, in a point where there's no canon stuff coming out anymore, no new TV series, they can do whatever they want. So I enjoy that. You know, they're not a tied to canon, but you could still have like I wonder if most missions have a lot of fighting. The spaceship battles feel kind of weird because they don't seem to be that challenging. The spaceship controls feel more like spaceship, but it's like a simplified spaceship controls. It's weird. I mean, it's not my favorite. And I would wish more abilities where you can successfully dodge enemy attacks more clearly. It just felt like I was constantly being hit, but only at the rarest occasions my shields were down to a more critical level. But it was still kind of fun. So I would say the spaceship battles would take a little bit of tweaking, but I still enjoyed them. So there was some variety. So basically, yeah, I saved that Vulcan dude. Well, I didn't save him. I took him. He wanted to go to this other planet, to this Vulcan temple. And I was in the shuttle, you know, but I couldn't control the shuttle. I was just in it, to be in it, I guess. And, yeah, when you land and you go back then in the shuttle, and you just see an animation, the shuttle going up and down. It's just some random dude going. Also, when you are in, you know, in-person missions where you actually play your own guy, you can choose your class. There's three classes. There is the tactical officer, then there is the science officer, and then the engineering officer, which I like. It's a good way to do it. I would also say, why isn't there a medical officer class, you know? So you can go down and say, he's dead, Jim. They just took the medical class and just kind of squished it into the science class, which I think there should be a separate medical class, I think, personally, because if I cannot play McCoy, a McCoy-like character, and say he's dead, Jim, you know, it's kind of... Anyway, you start out with, you make your character, and then you have to do the tutorial mission, where you eventually, you have to fight the Borgs, and your captain dies, and you become the new captain of the ship that you named, or whatever. It's just a kind of a reason that you get your ship. And on the end, you can choose one of your other lieutenants, you know. And I chose, there was three people. There was a science dude who was obviously a Vulcan, but I'm guessing they're randomly generated to look differently every time you play, which I do enjoy. Then there was a engineering officer, which I didn't know. And then there was a chick, a tactical officer, which was an Andorian, you know, the blue dudes, the blue people with the antennae. And I didn't know exactly, you know, it wasn't a good way of choosing them, you know, because I accidentally chose the tactical officer, and I wanted to get the science officer. Now, you could change the look and the name of your officers like you wanted, which is cool. Also, going back, when you choose your race, there's a bunch of classical Star Trek races, and they have all their advantages, disadvantages, mostly advantages, and that's really cool. But you could also make your own race, which I thought was really cool. Which I almost did, actually. But I wanted to go with the human guy. And you have only one slot when you're just playing free. You have to buy new player slots, which I actually might do. I really enjoy that. And so I've recently gotten a new science officer chick. And, you know, being the man I am. Well, you know, it was a thrill, you know. I think it's the race that has the host race where you have this creature in them, which then when the body dies, it gets transported to another body. And, yeah, I changed her look somewhat to make her look a little bit more... And she's the science officer, which I think is funny, to more, more sexually appealing and... I don't know, you can call me whatever you want, but I thought, you know, why not try it out? Character look, how you can make your character look, is quite extensive, you know, and it's pretty cool. So, Star Trek Online, it's a good game. It's not a great game, not the game that it could be, but I want to play a little bit more and see how... I put in, like, 5 hours now. I want to play it a little more and see... what's there, what the potential is, and I mean, there's so many ships you can buy, the costumes and stuff. Like, I was thinking to get the whole Mirror Universe outfits from the original series and get the original Star Trek ship and stuff, and that would be kind of cool. Well, I think I will play at least as far so I can get to make a Klingon character. That's something I would like to do. Well, that's so much for Star Trek Online and gaming news. Well, not quite. I've still won in game video gaming news. Talisman has been... again, there was a new attempt, an official attempt, to make a Talisman game. I don't know if I've talked about it, but I'm a big fan of the board game from Games Workshop, Talisman, which is kind of a fantasy board game, where it's kind of like... It's not quite D&D. It's a very simplified... gaming mechanic, which very, very simplified, so I wouldn't even call it D&D, but you can level up your characters somewhat. Well, you can level them up. And there's very simple mechanics, and it was something I liked to play as a kid a lot. And I always wanted to have a computer game version of it, and apparently there wasn't one for the ZX Spectrum, but, you know, I didn't know about it, so... And then there was one, I remember, a fan one that somebody made, and I did enjoy that a lot. But, you know, he used the original artwork and stuff, and he got a cease and desist letter from Games Workshop eventually. But not after he did a couple of versions of the program. And it was actually a fun program, but I could get nobody to play with me because there was no online option. Now, and then there was one when they released the fourth edition of Talisman. There was one in development for the 360 of all places, you know, and it was like the gaming board was in full 3D and everything, and that looked really cool, actually. But that failed, and I know when I got the 4th edition of Talisman, there was a whole, like, an advertising paper for that, and it looked really cool. But that never finished. That got scrapped. And now they have one that already, the single player version has been released, and there's a green light, a Steam green light, to bring it to Steam. Now, I'm probably going to get this. There's no question I'm going to get it, because it looks really cool. And it has the artwork of the 4th edition, which is really nice. And although I wish kind of that they will have maybe a DLC where you can download the original artwork, which would be so cool. And but, you know, if they can get this to work, they can, you know, upload DLC with the expansions and people will buy it. They also announced that there's going to be a multiplayer version. And it was part of... No. I don't know if it was in a Kickstarter. I don't think so, no. This is officially licensed Games Workshop. And it looks cool, you know, and I'm excited for it. And I can't wait to play it with people over the internet. But, you know, the single player one, I think the single player version, you can play local multiplayer. But I really don't understand why they just didn't wait and release it with the multiplayer one. Because really, there should be a multiplayer version. But I'm still gonna... I mean, Talisman is so cool, because the whole point is you have this game board, and you have an outer region, and you have an inner region, and then you have the region of the challenge region, or whatever it's called in English, because I played it in Germany. And the whole point is that you have this character, and you start out in the outer region, and you can be an elf, a dwarf, a warrior, cleric, a lot of the basic role-playing stuff. But then with the expansions come some weird ones too, like the Kung Fu Master, and I don't know. As a kid, I always thought the Hobbit was weird, or the Halfling was weird, because I wasn't really familiar with Tolkien's works at that time, because I was a fan of fantasy, but it's like, nobody wanted to play the Halfling, because it just looked weird. He was kind of like a, you know, everybody wanted to play the Barbarian, of course, because we were big Conan fans, or to play the Assassin, because the Assassin had this huge ability that, how it works is, like, it's very simple. Your characters have three stats. They have their hit points, which is everybody starts with 4 hit points, and you cannot have less than 4 hit points. Then you have craft and strength, which everybody differs. Craft is basically, it's kind of a weird stat, a weird attribute, because it kind of combines a bunch of things. It's like, I always saw it as, like, you know, in the game terms, it's almost like a psionic ability, or like just your intelligence in a sense. Then you have your strength, which is your strength, which determines how strong you are. Now, let's say a character has strength of 6, and how you fight is very easy. You have what is called adventuring cards, and on certain fields where you go, you have to always, every round you have to roll a 1d6, and then you can go on one direction or the other direction on the outer level. And the goal is to get into the inner level to get the Crown of Command. That is the goal of the game. Now, you start in the outer region, and you cannot go to the inner region because there's a river that divides it. And there's different ways to pass the river. Like, one of the most official ways is to get to the woods with an axe. Then you can build a raft, and then use the raft once to get over into the inner region. Now, it's really cool because there's so many things that can happen, because there's regions where certain specific things happen. Sometimes you have to roll, like in the crags, you have to roll if you get lost in the crags and stuff. And there's a lot of regions which are just take an adventure card. Like, they're like the empty regions where you have to take an adventure card. And you have a bunch of those. You have the most of those, you know. And I played this game so many times, I pretty much know pretty much every adventure card by heart. And, of course, a lot of the adventure cards are monsters, but you can also find treasure. You can also find events happening, like a volcano. Sometimes there's a shopkeeper then opening up a store. There's a bunch of things that can happen. Now, combat is very simple. All you do is you roll 1d, you see him, you encounter a monster, you put it on that field. Then it attacks you, If it's a strength-based monster, you roll your 1d6 and add your strength to it. Then you roll one for the monster, add their strength to it, and then compare. If yours is higher, you win. If theirs is higher, they win. If it's both the same, then it's a draw. If they win, you lose a hit point. If you win, you kill the monster. The monsters have one hit point, even the most strongest, which is fine. The same thing how it works when you fight against another player, because it's a competitive game. And although you don't have to fight a player, you can also barter and stuff, so there's different ways. There's a little, very little role-playing elements. It's kind of a very good introductory to role-playing. The guys who made it wanted to... They took all the elements they liked about D&D, but they wanted to have it... They would have characters die constantly, so they wanted to have a way to get into the game fast. So they basically distilled D&D and made it into a simple board game. And it's really fun. And you have, you know, let me say... There's a bunch of different characters, as I said... Oh yeah, and then you have also the craft battles or the psychic battles, where it's like when a craft-based monster, which is usually like a ghost, a demon. Demon is the strongest, it has 10 craft. You have also a spirit, a banshee, all kinds of these monsters that are more. They're not, you know, from the physical realm, definitely, you know, and then you can use your craft. And basically what happens is they roll a d6 and add their craft, and you roll a d6 and add your craft, and then compare. It's the same way. Now, if you want to attack another player, you cannot attack them with craft, for example, which I think is kind of lame. That's something I always used to house rule out, because basically the characters... they're not just different from their craft and their strength. They have also specific advantages and disadvantages which make them truly unique. Like, for example, the fairy has always two magic spells, and those are the spell cards. And you can gain spells if you have the appropriate craft level, which I think is at least 3 to have one spell card. And you can gain them through different events, and even from shops you can buy them from the adventure cards. I mean, no two games is the same in Talisman, so Talisman is a cool game, and I'm really excited they're finally getting their act together and making a proper computer game of Talisman. All I'm hoping is that they will release also the expansions and have the multiplayer out so I can play it with friends overseas and shit. You know, that's something I really would like to do. Because the idea of having a board game and playing it like that, a good board game, that's something cool. Like, I always loved the computer game version of HeroQuest, which is another game I really like. That's one, pretty much the game that introduced me to fantasy and stuff. But I'm not going to get into HeroQuest really right now, because that will just extend this episode even longer. I'll talk about that later. Holy shit, we're already 1.5 hours in, but that's cool, you know. It's a catch-up episode. So I'm gonna finish it off with yesterday we played the second D&D session that we recorded, and where I used Fantasy Grounds, which is this program where you have a virtual tabletop and all these cool tools which make the game much easier and much cooler. And we have Jerry Terrifying back in the game. And the thing is, this is going to happen after the original Tarl Igot campaign. It's in the same world, but it's about 200 years into the future. So everything, most of the characters are probably dead, or they're not really, you know, there anymore. So that's why we're getting new characters and stuff. So by that point, those old characters are legendary and stuff like that. So it's been going pretty well. We have Critical Failure as Dayron, because the way how I did it is that I'm just continued with the previous session, because I started the Daring Dudes of Dunderville, where we did 3.5. And then I just continued that, but with now Jerry, and because most of the players from Daring Dudes, everybody except Retro Kaiser, Shintai, and CF, all the other players left. They came. That was a weird 11 sessions of games where we had players come and go, and the only players who were really always there was CF and Sebastian. And Sebastian left the game because, you know, I missed two sessions, and he was really disappointed about that, and he wasn't satisfied with the game in general. So he went to another group, and they're playing 4.0, which is totally fine, you know. It's a group doesn't always last that long. But I decided to not play with random people on Inferno unless they're people that I think will do a good player, you know. And right now we have a really good group. We have, of course, we have Critical Failure, although he wasn't able to make it last this time. And we have Jared Terrifying. We have Mitch. We have Retro Kaiser, although he couldn't make it either. And we have Shintai. Yesterday it was Shintai, Jared Terrifying, and Mitch. And I will post these episodes soon on my YouTube. That's going to be probably my next content. But they are pretty huge files. Also, there's a lot of D&D recordings that I haven't published yet, because the main reason is that I wanted to do individual title cards that I drew. Now, stuff happened left and right, and I didn't release it, and I didn't just want to put a random Google image. But I will publish them in the next weeks coming. I will have them all published so you can catch up on what happened. Also with the main Tarl Igot games, also the CF Sci-Fi campaign, the Super Dicks campaign, all the things we've been talking about, I will publish, and it's going to be up to date. And we'll have also, of course, the new one, which I haven't had a new name for. I don't want to call it Daring Dudes of Dunderville, because that's the 11th sessions with also Sebastian and stuff. But since it's kind of a continuation, it's not a reboot or anything, it's just a continuation with new characters. I'm not quite sure how to call this campaign yet, but maybe just the new adventures in Tarl, new heroes of Tarl Igot or something like that. Not quite sure yet, but the two sessions of Fantasy Grounds will be posted on YouTube, and this time you'll be able to see the battle map and the characters, so it's going to be a different experience in a way. But they're pretty long sessions because people have been really enjoying that, so I might need to post them in multiple parts. Anyway, well, I've been rambling on for a long time. I will put in a music, probably Mega Driver, the Song of the Lonely Mountain, which is kind of based, it's based on The Hobbit. And since we've been talking about D&D as the last thing, that's kind of appropriate to stop it here. Okay, there is some Mega Driver, and yeah, phase one of the Beastverse is in full motion, and it's going to go, and I'm going to have stuff for you guys, Virtual Warriors, reviews, of course, Gaming Beast plays, also the bonus round cartoon. It's going to happen, it's going to be there, and there's going to be regular stuff, so yeah, this was the Gaming Beast, and for the Death Mug of Doom, guys. Our kingdom, the beast of life.